Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this beautiful Friday. It is a wonderful spring day outside today. We'll talk about the Kansas City Royals here coming up in just a bit as they have a relatively important series this weekend at home against the Baltimore Orioles. This is the team that they played earlier in the season. You guys remember that is one of the series that the Royals lost this year. We'll talk about coming up in a bit. Mitchell Schwartz is going to join us in studio at 3 o'clock for a Fast Food Friday. We are going to try some Sonic today. Rob has picked the menu items. I do not know what they are, so we will go over that coming up at 3 o'clock. Lance Zierlein of NFL Network is also going to be on the show today to take a closer look at the NFL draft. We're also going to have Josh Vernier on the show at 4:30 live from Kauffman Stadium as we get you ready for this weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles. Again, my name is Carrington. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well. We are thrilled to talk some Royals baseball today, but before we do any of that,
pizza time on The Drive. Dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella with all organic tomato sauce, locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers or unique wine. So Carrington, if you're in the mood for maybe a slice or two or a whole pie is more your move, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want to get ready for this Royals series against the Orioles and you also want some of the best pizza in the city, there's only one place to get it right here on The Drive. It's 610 Sports Radio. All right, Rob, this is where I would like to start today's show. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that I was not going to be super critical of you for not going to Royals games in the middle of the week. I understand that it is hard to sort of change all of your plans and make a plan to be out there for a Monday game against the Houston Astros or a day game on a Wednesday against the Houston Astros. Now, this is a possible indictment on how bad the Royals have been of late. since 2016, this is only the second series that they have had at this point of the season in which they and their opponent have been over 500. We don't get many series like this with the Kansas City Royals. Now, certainly the hope and expectation is that you will have more of them as the season progresses and that this is not the only one that you are going to have. But we have not had many series over the last 5-7 years or so in which the Royals have been a good team and are playing for something, and also their opposition. The Orioles won 90 games last year. The Orioles won their division. Many people thought the Orioles were the best team in the American League and had a chance to make a deep run in the postseason. That obviously not what happened, but a lot of people felt that going in. This is a real good baseball team that is coming to Kauffman Stadium. And if you really want to measure where you are and really get a clear picture of how solid and stable this Royals team can be, these are the kind of series that you are expecting them to win and take care of business at home. They went on the road earlier this year and lost the series. They lost two of those games against the Orioles to a walk-off. They played the Twins earlier this year. They lost that series. I mean, they have played, I would say, teams that are in their same weight class, and they've been fine. They are 6-1 against the White Sox. They are 6-6 against everybody else. They have proven, at least so far in the early part of the season, of being a 500 baseball team, aside from them just absolutely beating down on the worst team in baseball. This is a series against a good team, a team that is in your same weight class. They beat you in their building a couple of weeks ago. Now you are hoping that you can return the favor. You can win two or three now that the series shifts back to Kansas City. My stance on the Royals is very clear and I believe very simple. I think that we asked the Royals to do two things all winter. We asked John Sherman to really invest in this team. Not just do the talking and, hey, this is unacceptable and that's not good enough and we're going to turn things around. No. Open up your pocketbook, spend here, spend there, retain certain players, and let's really take a serious leap forward. I believe they did that this offseason. If you wanted to see a financial commitment from the ownership group, I think they've shown you that in the past 6 months. Whether it was the addition of going out and get Michael Wacha, whether it was Seth Lugo, whether it was the extension with Bobby Wood Jr., I believe that the Royals have met the fans halfway in their expectation. I also believe that every single Royals fan listening right now also asked them to not drown themselves in April. Far too many baseball seasons have ended before they ever got a chance to start. I mean, before the trees are in full bloom. The Royals have found themselves out of contention, out of first place, and we are having the same conversation in May and June about transitioning and pivoting to the young guys and what can they get for certain pieces at the deadline. We have had that conversation way too many times in Kansas City where you were trying to talk yourself in to their seventh inning relief pitcher, giving you back some great value at the deadline and then being disappointed with what they get in return. I don't know about you, but I'm personally tired of that cycle. I've really enjoyed the early part of this baseball season, and I forgot what it was like when the baseball team really mattered. I don't know what's going to happen this season. You don't know what's going to happen this season. But I do know that if we are talking about a relationship between a city and a team, between a fan base and its team, I think the Royals on the field and in the front office have done exactly what we asked them to do. And I do think that for a city that considers itself to be a first-class, top-notch sports town, which I 100% believe that Kansas City is, I think you show up for this series. I'm not saying you get 40,000 people out there for this series. I don't think that's realistic. But I have seen Kansas City and the Metro support any team that is turning things around. Look at what Sporting has built. Look at what the Current have built. Look at how quickly things turned around for Kansas. How quickly things turned around for Missouri in a post-Conzo Martin world. And then the next year, they had the best finish that they had in the SEC. Look at what happened this year with Missouri football and how many games sold out this year. I think it's pretty simple. Hey, if you do what you're supposed to do, we will do what we are supposed to do, and we will show up and support. I think the Royals have done that. And if Kansas City is the city that I believe that it is, you don't get 13,000 people in attendance today. Not on a beautiful Friday. Not when the team's playing well. Not when a good team is in town. And it's not about going out there and watching the other team and, oh, they have fill-in-the-blank star. No, it's about going out there and supporting your baseball team and being in attendance for, I know it sounds crazy, this is the biggest series that they have had in 8 years. I know it's early April. We're not even at the NFL draft yet. They have just not had many series in the last 6-7 years in which they have mattered, and they were also playing another team that matters. This might be a team at some point you got to compete with for a wild card spot. This might be a team that you were jockeying for position. The outcome of these games matter. Not just playing for the future, not just this series matters. These homestands now matter. Keeping up with the other teams in your division, who can avoid the big losing streak, who can get hot, who can figure out their offense, who can strengthen some of their weaknesses. The Royals are in a legitimate race. It's early in the race, but if you look at this division, there's not going to be a lot of teams that run away from each other. The Guardians are not winning 92 games. The Tigers are not winning 91 games. It's going to hover around that 82 to 85 range. And I think the Royals have shown in the first 10% of the season, I think they're going to be one of those teams that can hover around 500. And I firmly believe that when we get to August, I think they are going to play a series against a team in their division, and it's going to really, really matter. And this is the building block of that. I understand that the Royals have turned a lot of people off by how difficult it's been to watch them on television, by the campaign that they have just run, and how bad they have been over the course of the last few seasons. They have been really bad, but it is a new day, and we have all asked the Royals to matter. They matter. They matter on a game-by-game, series-by-series basis, and at least in early April, that is all you can do. I will continue to say this. You cannot make the playoffs in April. You can miss the playoffs in April. And I think we can at least definitively say, as we are winding down April with less than 2 weeks left, they are not going to eliminate themselves in April. And now you advance to the next stage of the game. Let's see how May goes. Let's see how June goes. I think we have a chance of it being a really fun spring and a really competitive summer in Kansas City with baseball games that matter to me and you. Coming up on the other side, we're going to play a special edition of the Royals attendance game. How many people do we think are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? The winner gets a large pizza from the other place, 913-586-7610. The Royals are 12-7. The Orioles are also over 500. We got, what, Grateful Dead night coming up tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals are back in town off a 500 road trip. How many people do you think are out at Kauffman Stadium? We'll play Royals Price is Right coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is time to play Kansas City's favorite game. How many people will be at Kauffman Stadium tonight? The Royals fresh off a 500 road trip against the Mets and the White Sox. They return home for a weekend set against the defending American League East champion, Baltimore Orioles. Rob, really quickly, before we get to the game, can you tell us what the promotion is today? I know that tomorrow is Grateful Dead night out at Kauffman Stadium. Now, I don't know much about Grateful Dead, but I know that they're a very popular musical group. What is the, it's a Friday, are we doing fireworks today? What they got going out at Kauffman Stadium today?
Today at Kauffman Stadium is Bring Out the Blue Shirt. The
okay.
First 10,000 fans receive a Welcome to the City Royals Charlie Hustle t-shirt tonight.
Ooh. That's it? That's all you get?
There also is a special ticket you could purchase that gets you a UMKC shirt, but that's a separate ticket purchase.
Oh, that's a special ticket. So they got Rue Night.
It's Rue Night and Bring Out the Blue Night. You get yourself a nice Charlie Hustle t-shirt the first 10,000 that arrive at the ballpark.
They got Kim Anderson throwing out the first pitch on UMKC night.
Is Kim Anderson at UMKC now?
No, but they lost his first game to UMKC, so he might as well as an alum. He basically is he's one of them now.
He was on the take.
We had to give him back to the streets. All right, time to play Kansas City's favorite game. How many people will be at Kauffman Stadium tonight? All right, Anthony, you have heard all the information. How many people are you projecting to be in attendance at today's Royals game?
I'm going to go with 27,432.
27,432. All right, let me put you on hold so Rob can get your information. So if you win, we can reach back out to you. All right, Nate the Great. All right, how many people do you got out of Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Let's go 18,000.
18 flat. All right, I got you down for 18 flat. Stay on hold there so Rob can get your information. All right, Tanner, how many people do you have going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I'm going to say 16,000.
16,000 people. All right, put you on hold there. All right, Daryl, you're last up here. How many people do you have out in attendance at Kauffman Stadium?
I'll do 17,756.
All right, 17,556, what you said?
17,756,
okay.
Like it really matters.
But okay, no, that's fine. I just want to make sure. I'll make sure I get you down right. All right, Daryl, we put you on hold there.
Not great gameplay by Daryl there. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm here to write down what people say accurately. All right, Rob.
If I was playing the game, I would smartly take 18,001 because I think it's going to be in between 27 and 18. That's how I would play the game.
I think 27's really high.
But I think 18's too low.
I agree with you.
If you're going to make me pick an actual number because I don't get the prize, I would say 24,500.
Yeah, I'm at like 22. I think they do 22 today, which I would say 22 is a good number. If they do 22 on a nice April spring day, and I still think that people are cautiously optimistic about the Royals, if they do 22,000 people, I will be I'll be very happy with the attendance today. If you're on hold, stay there, and we will take your information. And we'll let you know on Monday if you are the winner. Text line 913-586-7610. C-Dot, I think it's going to be hard to judge the Royals' attendance tomorrow with their current and Sporting both having games at the same time. All right. This is, I think, at least the judging the Royals' attendance. I don't think that they need to get 30,000 people out there tomorrow. Let's be realistic about them. I don't think there's any reason for them to get less than 20. I mean, if you got them getting 16,000 people, you think more people are going to a sporting game tomorrow than going to the Royals, which I think the relationship between the Royals and the city is certainly fractured right now. I don't know if I'm willing to say that they're getting less people than sporting if the Royals are playing well. Now, the current, it's a good crowd. How many people can go to a current game? What's the attendance out there?
I think 12 is the number I've heard, around 12.
Now, I certainly believe that more people tomorrow will be at soccer games than will be at a baseball game. I do believe that. I do think that the Royals should outdraw both of those individually. I think they're getting 20-something over the weekend. I think they get 22 today. I could see them getting like 24 tomorrow. And then they always take a dip on Sunday, and they probably get like 18, 19 on Sunday. That's kind of about where I am. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think tonight's like 24, 25. I think tomorrow, man, tomorrow's giveaway, I was looking it up as we were talking about tonight. Tomorrow's giveaway is a replica 2014 AL Champions ring. I don't know how much that still resonates with fans because 2014, the Orioles. I think it's probably similar numbers tomorrow to tonight, so 24, 24. But I think if they have a chance to sweep, you'll see a walk-up on Sunday. I'm going to say Sunday is a bump up, 26.
So you think they got a chance for a good crowd this weekend? I think they got a good chance.
I think they can win tonight, win tomorrow. They get a good walk-up. The weather's the best of all 3 days this weekend on Sunday. Chance to sweep, and then, hey, this is my moment to cautiously buy in. That's what I think happens over the weekend.
Maybe this is just a product of baseball and it being a very long season, because after this homestand, so they got a 7-game homestand, another one. They got 3 games against Baltimore, and then they have 4 against the Orioles. They then don't play again another homestand until Cinco de Mayo weekend. And if the weather is good and we are now in May, I do think people will go out to the stadium. You know, people will go out. They're feeling good. I think people will be out of attendance the next weekend stand that they have. I think this is a really good series, I think. I also think that it is a really good test for the Royals. In theory, the Royals are playing a team that is better than they are. Like, if you look at what the projection is for the Orioles, they're projected to win 88 games. They beat you earlier this season. They're 12-6. Like, these are two of the better teams in the American League that are playing each other. And it feels weird to say that because the Royals are one of the few, one of the teams that we were talking about in this conversation. But, like, this weekend at Kauffman Stadium, I mean, two of the better teams in baseball. I'm looking at FanGraphs and where they have the Orioles. I mean, the Orioles have a 30% chance of winning their division and a 75% chance of making the postseason. Like, this is a real test to kind of see where the Royals are. And you and I talked about this yesterday. The Royals offense is just going to need to be better in this series than it was against the White Sox if they plan on winning this series. You're not going to be able to score 7 runs in 3 games against Baltimore over the course of the weekend and then think that you were taking 2 or 3 from Baltimore. That's just not realistic. I don't care how well your pitching is. That's just not realistic to think that you are winning that series if your offense doesn't perform a little bit better than it did in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about yesterday, the offense is going to have to be better. The top text in the text line is, I don't think we're going to see any decent crowds there until school is out. I don't disagree with that notion. School being out is a big deal. No sport struggles with school more than baseball. That's the nature of the beast. But, I mean, maybe it's semantics, but if you don't think the Royals can get 22, 23, 24, 25.
We're arguing
tonight,
that on a weekend about school being out?
That's the thing. Like, if you can't get 25, don't blame school. That's a failure by the city.
The only problem, like the school, sure, maybe that's the case for the weekend, for the weekday series against Toronto. Like, I'm not here thinking on Monday, April 22nd, I'm not thinking the Royals are getting 22,000 people out there. Their season ticket base isn't strong enough. The fan interest isn't strong enough. The game's not important enough. They are not getting 22,000 people on a weekday yet to go out there and watch them. I don't want to hear about the kiddos in school on Friday night and Saturday night, bro. Not when we know sporting's going to be sold out this weekend, and not when you can't get single game tickets to go see the current right now. You cannot go on the current's website and buy single game tickets. There is that much demand and interest for it. You are super interested in soccer in Kansas City. It ain't, no, the kids are in school. No, it's a, hey, we still want to see more from the Royals. We are not fully buying in. People are bought into the idea of the current. Local, supporting women, women's sports, local stadium, local food spots, people are bought into the idea of the current financially and emotionally. into it. I think the Royals are still kind of lagging behind in people really believing that thing, that this thing is real. And I would say if all the local teams, the Royals are usually the team that people are the slowest to buy into, because outside of those 2 years in which they were incredible, they haven't really given you the return on investment. It don't take much for y'all to get excited about Kansas basketball. Understandably, they're maybe the best program in college basketball this side of Connecticut. It doesn't take much for you to get excited about K-State football or K-State basketball, and there's a little bit of buzz. It usually takes people a long time to come around to the Royals, but given their history for most of our lives, it's understandable.
I also think, I don't want to say we're handling the Royals with kid gloves here, but if we're saying like, hey, 22 is a decent crowd, great job by the Royals, that's what, just over 60% capacity? Because capacity is what, 39, 40? You're getting to 22? Like, are we really applauding the city and saying, great job, you really supported your team because you got 22 out there on a weeknight, on a weekend night, excuse me. On a weeknight, I'm with you, but on a weekend night, if they pull 22 and they get 20 tomorrow because kind of cold and windy, and then Sunday you see like an 18, 19, and we're talking about on average they're around 20,000 people over the weekend, I'm not going to handle the city with kid gloves and say, no, I get why you guys aren't bought in yet. You need to buy in more than just half the stadium is full for a team that is trending in the correct direction. Every other team, like you've pointed out, trends in the correct direction, and the fans show up in droves. Mizzou basketball had a horrible last year. The year before that, Dennis Gates had the crowd bumping. That January game against Kentucky, packed to the gills. Why can't the Royals do that against the Orioles? It's the same. There's no history of greatness, but oh, we believe now. Why can't the Royals experience that same thing with a fan base?
Why'd you have to throw that? I saw what you did there. It was a little sneaky. It was a little underhanded.
I did the timeline correct.
I know what
correct.
You tried to do.
Now, timeline. The timeline.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Because it felt a little disingenuous. It felt a little sneaky what you were trying to do with Missouri basketball.
To be fair, you've been taking sly shots at KU football fans for a week.
They were
6-6 and fans were loving it. Come on now.
That happened though. I didn't say anything that was out of turn.
Neither did I.
Rob, they were bad last year.
The year before they were good.
You traveled to Memphis to watch 6-6 Kansas play 6-6 Arkansas. If you wanted to go see 6-6 Arkansas, you could have drove 90 minutes east and you could have saw 6-6 Arkansas. You drove to Memphis to see it. Rob, they didn't have water that week. You were loving it. You were on Beale Street, open container, just having a great time for the Liberty Bowl. It did not take much to get KU fans back after a decade of them beating you down. A decade. They won a couple of games. Pat McAfee showed up. Rob was traveling to bowl games to follow him. I ain't forget. The North remembers. That's what I'm here to tell you. The North absolutely remembers. All right, coming up on the other side, earlier today I got a chance to catch up with Lance Zierlein. Lance Zierlein works with NFL Network. He covers the NFL draft. We go through the top quarterback prospects and get his thoughts. Also, what the Chiefs need to do in this year's NFL draft. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car, truck, or motorcycle wreck? Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kansas City, it's Nick Bolton. Can I get a big old M-I-Z? You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Friday. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will be joined by Mitchell Shorts, former All-Pro right tackle, for our Fast Food Friday. Today's food is Sonic. Very excited to try some Sonic with Mitchell Shorts here coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit of NFL draft with Lance Zierlein of the NFL Network. You can catch the NFL Network for the live coverage of the NFL draft coming up this Thursday through Saturday. Lance, always appreciate your time. Lance, let's just start with this. I know who's going number one. We all do. Caleb Williams, the former Heisman Trophy winner out of USC. I think Jaden Daniels is going number two out of LSU, but I have absolutely no clue given all this information the last couple of days.
Well, I don't think anyone wants you to be sure. I still think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but I think a lot of the things you're going to hear from now until notice this, the Giants now said they're just fine with Daniel Jones, the three quarterbacks they have. The New England Patriots said they're open for business to make sure that everyone knows that. And then there's talk about them liking Drake May because they want to make sure they cover every quarterback imaginable in case you want to trade up for a pick. Like Washington wants to make sure that everyone knows that any quarterback's on the board just in case, you know, just in case someone wants to make them an offer. So I think right now you're going to see teams really try to make sure that the message you're getting out there is that we are open to anybody and everybody. If you think you know what we're going to do, we want to make sure that to try to create some confusion and some doubt because, you know, for them, the best thing is for you not to know what they're going to do because it creates leverage on draft day. Now, I don't know that there's going to be a trade at number two, for example. I do think there's a real possibility of a trade at three. But I think the only way you create leverage and you defend against leverage is making sure if you're a team like the Giants that we're fine with what we've got if we need to be. And by the same token, we're open to drafting any player and trading to any team. That way it's that balance of you're not going to push us around and then we're not going to, you know, we're not going to let you off the hook. We're going to get the most we can. So I think that's what it, I think that's what it is. I noticed the betting odds really flipping and changing, but I still think Jaden Daniels is going to be the second pick when it's all said and done.
Lance, you're really good at player comparisons. When you watch Jaden Daniels, is there a quarterback he reminds you of? Who do you think he could be?
Man, he was the very toughest I think I've ever done because I usually start with body type comparisons and go from there, guys who remind me of similar sizes, and then I go from playing styles. And, you know, it's easy to say Lamar Jackson, body type-wise, somewhat similar. Both are great runners. But Jaden is a more complete passer coming into the league. He's very adept at running the ball, but he's very adept at throwing the ball as well. And I think that's one of the big differences is, Carrington, he might be the best true dual-threat quarterback. I mean, truly balanced dual-threat quarterback that I've seen come into the league. And when you try to come up with, you know, if you start with body type, it gets, he's not Alex Smith. That's not really a comparison. And you can't just get away from the mobility. You have to be, you have to acknowledge the mobility because it's such a big part of who he is. So right now, I guess, you know, the one guy you come back to is Lamar Jackson. But to be perfectly honest with you, I just don't think there's a great comp. If you got one for me, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I don't have the great comp either. I did get a chance to see him play earlier this year. I went to the Missouri LSU game, and I just was floored by his athleticism and his poise. I thought he did a little bit of everything. He's the guy that I would take with the number two overall pick. The quarterbacks out of this that I don't know the most about, and I've seen the least, is actually Drake May. I've seen some comparisons to Josh Allen. You mentioned the third overall pick with the Patriots. To me is where the Patriots get really interesting. Like, I could see the Patriots, who don't have a lot of great skill position players, I could see them running to the podium to draft Marvin Harrison. I could see them saying quarterback is so important, we got to take Drake May. I could see them being the team that moves out of that spot to allow somebody to take J.J. McCarthy. That's where the draft really gets interesting to me, is three with New England.
Yeah, that's the pivot point. And I think Elliott Wolf, you have to know a little bit about his dad, Ron Wolf, when he was at the Packers. And Elliott came up through the Packer way under his dad, Ron Wolf. Then he went to the Cleveland Browns with Alonzo Highsmith and John Dorsey, who had been with Kansas City but also had spent time with the Green Bay Packers. And their way of doing things is to draft your own, grow your own, draft and develop. And I think Elliott knows that the cupboard's pretty bare right now in New England. And he's not, you know, if you get a quarterback, that's great. But if you don't believe in a quarterback, if you think that they're on your draft board, there's only two quarterbacks that can make a big difference, then you're going to try to push back in the draft, pick up capital, and continue your rebuild by adding picks. And I think there's a very good chance that Elliott Wolf is much more in tune with the job ahead, which is to rebuild a roster, which is going to take draft picks. I think he's much more in tune with that as opposed to, you know, when fans just say, you have to have a quarterback. You don't have one. Who are you going to – well, you know what? Have you thought about this? What if they were to trade with the Giants, get Daniel Jones in a trade to, you know, stem them through, be a bridge quarterback for this year, give him a little tryout this year, wait until next year to look at quarterback, grab Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. with the sixth pick, and pick up an additional – you know, draft pick for next year, maybe even a second rounder this year. I mean, I think it's worth considering that different teams have different needs in the stages where they are. And I agree with you. For me, the Patriots, it's fascinating because I don't know who they're like. I don't know if Drake May's really a guy you want to put your stock into when you have no true wide receivers that can really help him out. I mean, Drake May needs help. He's not an accurate quarterback.
Right now, we're talking to Lance Zierlein of NFL Network. He's one of their draft analysts, one of the best that's out there. Last quarterback question that I want to get your opinion on is with J.J. McCarthy. This is my issue with J.J. McCarthy. I don't disagree with what the scouts are saying. Is he sort of NFL ready? That all makes sense to me. I'm trying to think of the last time that a quarterback was a game manager in college and then turned out to be a franchise guy in the league that – you and I both have watched a lot of Michigan over the last couple of years. It has been about that run game. It's been about that offensive line. It's been about great defense and coaching. It's never really been about quarterback. You were in a great situation. You're not going to get drafted into a great situation, and you're going to be asked to do more, and I just wonder if he has more in his game.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair analysis, and it is rare. I mean, the ultimate you go to is the guy who was at Michigan also, but that happens to be the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, potentially. But everyone else that you look at is you have, if you're a, you know, you have something in your background that shows that you are a potential game breaker. And, or at least somebody like, you know, Joe Burrow, who even though he works in the pocket, has shown you the explosiveness in college, and he was not a game manager at all. So, I think with, you know, it's interesting because you don't have to have just, there's different ways to win a Super Bowl. And of course, Eli Manning famously won two, and he was certainly a game manager. He was not a, he was not a star quarterback, and yet you won in large part because of great catches by wide receivers and also a front four that was deadly when you had the bump down, you know, you take your ends and we're going to reduce them down to tackles. And that kind of NASCAR package really has become in vogue in pro football. And a lot of it stemmed from the success that the Giants had against the Patriots. So if you draft, you're right, if you draft J.J. McCarthy early, or if you draft him at all, just know that he has not had to carry an offense. And are you going to build the pieces up around him, which is entirely possible, or are you going to ask him to do something he hasn't done yet, which maybe he can do on a different team and in a different circumstance? I'm kind of with you. I mean, I haven't seen enough of it to really have great confidence in him being an early first-round pick, and yet that's where I think he's going.
Lance, I want to get your opinion on the Kansas City Chiefs and what you kind of see from them as a team. Let's just start with this. I think is the bigger draft need. I think they have two glaring ones, whether it's left tackle right now or wide receiver. Which do you see as the more glaring need?
Well, okay, so I think for me, it's a good question because I think wide receiver with Rashee Rice's status, you have to at least factor that in. So I would say wide receiver right now. But left tackle, but when you look at the wide receiver position, keep in mind that you're going to be able to get good wide receivers in the second and even into the third round. Patrick Mahomes can make guys good receivers. He can take quality players and upgrade them. He's one of those rare guys that can make you maybe a little better than other quarterbacks are going to make you. When it comes to offensive tackles, Patrick's an extender, and those guys by nature get sacked more. So I think you need to have a more athletic player on the left side. I think you need to have a more premium player. The problem is where the Chiefs draft, I don't know that you'll get your hands on one of those top tackles. You could end up with Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, and he's not bad. But, you know, you're also dipping into potentially a seventh, eighth tackle off the board. So it's something to consider. So I think it's harder to find tackle once you get in the second round. You're going to find starters at wide receiver into the second and maybe potentially into the third. So for the Chiefs, it's really about, do you want somebody who fills a need or you think is going to help you win another championship? Because honestly, everyone would love to throw Xavier Worthy there at the Chiefs, but I think he's gone before then. And in my last mock draft, I put Ladd McConkey there because I thought, man, here's a guy that can get open on two levels for sure. And if he's mismatched on a lack of speed, he can beat a guy deep. He catches everything thrown his way. He's a great separator. Like, he could end up being for and a much more expanded version of Edelman or Welker. Well, that, for Tom Brady, well, that's what that could end up being for Patrick Mahomes, where his life gets easier throwing to a guy who gets open and catches everything his way, which, let's face it, the Chiefs have had real problems with guys catching the football. And for as much as Kadarius Toney has upside, he's inconsistent, and that's the one thing Ladd McConkey is not. He is a tremendously consistent player. So the last mock draft, I went from having Worthy, I put McConkey there just because I thought, wouldn't it be nice to give Patrick Mahomes a guy that he can count on 17 games a year?
Lance, if they took a tackle in the first round, who do you think it could be? I've seen a couple of mocks that has Tyler Guyton.
But I do think Guyton, I think Guyton fits because now he's not ready yet, but he's going to have to start early. But Carrington, he's long, he's athletic, he has big upside. He's not where he needs to be just yet. He can play on the left side. He can play on the right side. So, for me, I think that he would be the one that you would more likely target. There have been issues with Amarius Mims with injury out of Georgia. I love all listen, it's a great tackle draft. It really is. And if the Chiefs really wanted to get frisky, you know, move up even higher and go get your hands on Fa'utanu from Washington. But that's going to take a pretty substantial jump up. I'll tell you a little juicy rumor. I don't know if this is public or not. Supposedly, the Chiefs like Kevontae Sweat, and potentially as early as the first round, which after his DUI and after his weight fluctuations here in the draft process, that was a surprise to me that the Chiefs might consider him, because I know a lot of teams have him kind of off the board until day three because of weight issues and the DUI issue. But I'm telling you, from a pure football standpoint, if you stuck the run clog next to Chris Jones, oh my gosh. I mean, if you found a way to get him on your team, I don't know if I'd take him in the first, but that's an interesting name to keep an eye on, even though I personally wouldn't take him in the first. I just think he's too much of a chance. But if there's one thing the Chiefs and Andy Reid will do and Brett Veach, we know they'll take swings.
No, absolutely. I would just stay away from players who are having car issues right now. I think you already got enough of that on one side of the coin. I don't know if I would deal with it on the other side, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's more than likely what happens.
Let me get you out of here with this, Lance, and I appreciate your time. You've mentioned it a little bit that they might possibly have to move up. Have you heard any rumors? Are the Chiefs the team that you think could move up? They don't have a lot of draft capital. A couple of years ago when they had the Tyreek Hill trade, they had a lot of pieces to move up and kind of manipulate the draft. They don't have nearly that capital right now. Could you see them moving up for a tackle or a wide receiver?
Yeah, I could, and I'll tell you why. I don't know about wide receivers. Like I said, I think it's too deep to move up for a wide receiver. But if you want to tackle, I could see them moving up because right now you are clearly in championship mode. You're clearly like, I've watched the Astros down here, and they, I think the Astros and Chiefs, there's a lot of parallels to the run that they're having, the length of the run. And when you want to keep that championship run open, when you're going to the World Series frequently, when you're going to the Super Bowl frequently, you're more willing to maybe borrow from the future to pay for the now. And I think the only way the Chiefs are going to be able to really move up and make an impact is to maybe borrow future draft picks and be willing to do that so that you – you know, you take a pick now and you say, okay, next year's draft is not going to be a big deal, maybe a little smaller deal for us, but we'll go get a tackle that we know can be a bookend tackle for years to come. So I don't think, and especially when you have the guard-center combination you have, it would make some sense to go ahead and just continue to pound on the offensive line and try to make that a strength where you start asking your running game maybe to carry a little heavier load more frequently. So I do think that they could trade up, but the problem is, to move up to where they need to move up to, you're going to have to borrow from next year's draft class, and are you willing to do that credit card spending?
That is Lance Zierlein joining us on the show today. He is one of the top NFL draft analysts. He does fantastic work with NFL Network. You can catch NFL Network for all their live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. Lance, man, I always enjoy catching up with you, man, to get your thoughts on the draft. Man, I appreciate your time.
It was a good time. Likewise.
Absolutely. That is Lance Zierlein joining us on the show today. Be sure to check out NFL Network for all your draft coverage. We are less than a week away from the start of the NFL draft. Rob, what he said there at the end to me makes a lot of sense regarding, hey, if the Chiefs are going to trade up, it's probably not going to be for a wide receiver just because wide receiver is so deep this year. Of all the positions on the field, that has been the one that has been the most talked about where you don't maybe need to overextend yourself. So you maybe don't need to package pick 131 to move up to go get the wide receiver. It's not like last year. Last year, you remember, there was that run of like four wide receivers, and then there was a pretty decent gap between whoever you had as a third and fourth wide receiver and then that fifth guy. I don't think at least that's how this year's wide receiver class is, so I don't know if they're going to need to move up to fill that position. But if you want a tackle that can potentially start from you for day one, that might need to be an avenue in which you look at. You maybe need to consider moving up to 26, 27 if you are looking for a starting day one left tackle. We obviously got some time to figure out what they're going to do. They could just go truly best player available. I do think the success that you have had on the field and with how you've drafted the last couple of years, you certainly will get the benefit of the doubt if you want to go best player available. But I do think what Lance says makes a lot of sense. It would be a little bit surprising if they traded up for a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think if they're trading up, they're trading up for tackle or, you know, a player they absolutely love at a position we are not talking about falls. Like, who's the Missouri kid? Enos Rakestra? Let's say they love him. I'm not saying they do or they don't. I have no idea. But let's say they think, man, that guy is a star at corner. We think he's one of those dudes. And for some reason, he's falling to 25, 26, 27. Maybe they move up and they get the best player available because they think that guy should have been gone by 18. But I think if they move up, it is either tackle or a surprise to everyone. I don't think they're moving up to get Jalen Polk, or they're not moving up to be like, oh man, can you believe they went up and got AD Mitchell from Texas? I don't think that's how it shakes out. So I agree with you. If they're moving up, they're moving up for something we don't see coming, or it's because their tackle fell into their lap.
Do you think that McConkey makes a lot of sense for them?
McConkey, to me, I feel bad slapping the Sky Moore label onto players. I really do. But if you read everything you read about McConkey is, man, he really beats people off the line of scrimmage, surprising athleticism, good one-on-one. And then you look at the numbers and you're like, huh? Like, yeah, he's putting up good numbers because he's at Georgia, but it's a lot of the same things you heard about Sky Moore. He just beats that guy right off the line of scrimmage. And then that's what creates the separation. Can he do that in the pros? Because Sky Moore couldn't. And that was the same conversation we had.
I'm looking at Ladd McConkey, and I may, you know, maybe he's, maybe he's going to end up being a good pro. Like, what about his career at Georgia locks him into being a first round pick? Like, am I missing something with Ladd McConkey? He never had 800 yards receiving while he was at Georgia. Like, what am I missing about Ladd McConkey? He just feels very safe to me. Like, I don't think that he has an incredibly high ceiling, but he also seems like he has like a decent floor. We're like, he won't be bad, but we're not sure how great he's going to be either. I'm just not really seeing it. We're like, I'm looking at a kid like Mitchell out of Texas, where there is certainly a bus factor with him, but if he is in the right situation, it works. He could be a really productive wide receiver in this league that if you got him in the back half of the first round, you're really happy with what you got. Just thinking about watching Ladd McConkey in college and then looking at his stats, there's nothing that is jumping out to me as a guy that is a first round pick. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz. It is a Fast Food Friday. We've got some Sonic. The Sonic just got here. Rob is going to tell me what we have. We're going to do a live taste test of some of the most popular items on the Sonic menu. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.